Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo with Wes and Jess. It is so good to have you in with us today. Today is episode El Numero del Deuce. It's 22. It's so good to have you with us. I am with Jess, the well-formed E-Step. It is so good to see you. Tell me, my friend, what has been going on?
Well, it's good to be back in the zoo again today. And I just really look forward to this time of the week. I start looking forward to it around, usually about Tuesday afternoon. You know, I'm looking forward to the next week. I start getting
comes
excited.
Quick.
I guess I start getting excited around Sunday. I start really thinking, man, I know Ministry Zoo's coming up. I'm excited to see my buddy Wes. And there's been several things going on. We've been busy with the fan van and all of that, and we've gotten our 121 kicked off last week, last Wednesday. So that's been good. If you don't remember or you haven't heard that episode, we meet every other, well, the first and third now. It's been a little bit different now. First and third Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock, we eat a meal together and do a service project. So we got that kicked off last week and got to spend some family time this weekend. I took Brennan to the park down at McFarland Park by the river. And we did some biking down there and trying to get him where he's comfortable on his bicycle.
Sure.
And I'm about to raise those training wheels up.
Yep.
And then from there we go to the dirt bike. So
I'm
just really, really anxious for him to get on that dirt bike and start where he can do it and ride beside me. And he's not quite there yet. He's still a little bit timid. But anyway, we're working on it. So we've had a lot going on and been busy, but it's been a good kind of busy. Last night we were over at Wilson High School to see one of our girls from Brooks play junior high volleyball.
Sure.
And she did a great job. We were sitting behind the scorer's table, and the way they had it set up, we couldn't tell what the score was. We assumed by the looks on everybody on both teams at the end of the game they had lost. They were playing another game right after, so we weren't able to see her and go talk. And so we really assumed that they did not win, but she played really good. She did really good with her serves and, you know, Woodall. I don't know the terms.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know volleyball lingo.
But I mean, she hit the ball over the net, and a couple of times the other team didn't hit it back. So so we went to see Molly Nunley, and we were, you know, glad to see her.
That's
so
cool. Yeah.
What about you? What's been going on?
You know, just the norm. It's a crazy mm-hmm. time of the year. We just got all kinds of things going on. Friday night, we went over to West Limestone, which I think is technically in, I don't even know the city. I think it might be like Tony, Alabama. Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But West Limestone High School to watch the Pirates. And we took our fan van over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good time, good turnout for that. So we were very appreciative of that. They did win the ball game, and that was one of those games that they were looking for from the previous year. You know, they felt like they kind of didn't do enough and came up a little short. So
mm-hmm.
they went back and made up for it to the tune of 34-14. So
yeah, that was
they looked pretty good. So we were real happy with them. Sunday was a really cool day. Saturday we spent the day, you know, just kind of hanging out with the family. We had a few friends mm-hmm. over to watch the ball game, and then we had some friends show up that you know, just kind of showed up, which
weren't
is always
invited.
Yeah. Well, they were not invited, but they just showed up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's okay. You enjoy those visits too, but. Sunday was a really cool day. Sunday we worshiped together at Shiloh, and then we headed out with our Good Samaritan group, and a representative from the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Department came by and picked up some goodie bags, snacks, things like that our Good Samaritan group had made. And then we actually have somebody who works with the Lawrence County Sheriff's Department in Lawrence County, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Adam Brewer, and he's just very, very special to us. His whole family, they're just special to us at Shiloh. So we were able to present him with sort of a special recognition, and that was cool because his kids were able to give it to him. So it was really neat. We love Adam, and he's just so good and such an asset to us. And then we went down and we went to the Florence Police Department. And they got to go into the conference room and talk with some of the police officers, and it was just a really neat experience for not only me but for our young people to see these people who protect them and provide for them and keep them safe. You know, we just wanted to let them know that we support them and thank them for everything that they do. And then, of course, I saw you Sunday night at Shoals Area Youth Series at Tuscumbia.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the guy's name. His last name was Cagle. Terry, maybe. Something
it
like
is,
that.
Yeah, is it was Terry Cagle.
Terry Cagle. Terry did a good job. We enjoyed being there and being a part of that and just getting ready to roll into the next week. So, you know, here we are. It's Tuesday. It's a day in the zoo, so it's a good day. But just a lot of stuff going on, and it continues to get busier and busier, just like everybody else does during this time of the year, starting to plan for different things and retreats, things like that. Mm-hmm. So we have a good first word today that ties into our topic, and Jess is going to give you that right now.
I think it ties in pretty good. It's a quote by P.T. Barnum, actually, from Barnum and Bailey's High Flying Circus, you know, the old famous, the famous circus promoters. And so P.T. Barnum said, without promotion, something terrible happens. Nothing.
Boom.
Boom. There it is. Without promotion, something terrible happens. And that would be nothing. I thought that that was a pretty good way to lead into our discussion today. And why don't you tell us about our discussion, what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so today, when I went to school at UNA, I was a public relations major with a minor in marketing. So I know Lori has a public relations degree, so and she's much more talented than I will ever imagine being. But we're talking about the importance of getting our group out there. So today we're going to talk about marketing our group and what's important, what's worked for us, and some things that we have found beneficial for our group, and things that we have learned to do and could be successful for you too. So today we're just going to discuss marketing our group and getting our name out there. You know, first and foremost, we want to make sure that people know that through our efforts. Our first and most important aspect of what we're trying to do is we're trying to glorify God through everything that we're doing. So, you know, we want that to be out there. We want people to know who we serve and what we're trying to accomplish. So, but that being said, you live in a world where if you don't talk about it, you don't know about it. So,
yeah. You got to be in front of people.
For sure.
You know, and it's got to be out there. It's got to be visible. And I like what you said, and we didn't even have any notes on that, but that is the most important thing is that you're glorifying God.
For sure.
And so this discussion is by no means is our number one priority with our ministry.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, we do live in a world that's very visually stimulated.
Sure.
And you know, if people aren't hearing about things and seeing things out there, then they're not going to lock onto it.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to talk about two different aspects. We want to talk about marketing your group and then marketing of your events. So, Jess is going to get us kicked off into the marketing your group category. Jess, what's something that you have found to be successful in marketing your youth ministry here?
Well, as far as success, I think that's going to be one of those time will tell and depends on, you know, how frequently we use it and how we use it. But just recently, and by recent, I mean within the past couple of months, we developed an app for our congregation. And in that process, we figured out that we needed a logo. We needed to get a specific logo that we can use uniformly, you know, on letterhead, and eventually my desire would be to have it on the sign out by the street whenever we, you know, there's been some talk about replacing and redoing our signs. So, you know, hopefully, you know, that logo can make its way out there. We had to develop something for the app, some background images, and, you know, when you open the app, what shows up, and what was on it was not good. It was just basic template stuff that they, you know, through eChurch does. And so my wife, like you said, I mean, she's very talented. I don't know that she's more talented than you. I don't know that that's fair to you, but she's been doing it a while. And one of the things that she has kind of had to teach herself is graphic design, which is not really part of public relations.
Right,
But through that, with working with Heritage Christian, now UNA, she's had to kind of teach herself. She's gotten pretty good at it. And so she designed a logo that's really modern, but at the same time, it's, to me, I think it's very straight edges and very It's one of those that I think it could take you for, you know, many, many years.
Yeah, it's very clean.
There's nothing gimmicky about it is what I'm saying. There's nothing in it that's going to change with the times. And so what she did was just a basic logo, a little image with the name of the church. And then what I later had her do just a couple of weeks ago was take the elements from that logo and design a logo for the youth ministry. And we have a thing called KYM Kids. And so she made one for them that's colorful and different colors. And then she made one for our college group and then one for the 39ers, which is our, you know, our older up to senior citizen group that is very active.
Yeah.
And so we have logos for each ministry group, you might say, and then one main logo for the church. And they all are kind of different with color patterns and all of that. And so that's one thing that I'm using on social media, using it on Twitter and Facebook as the headers, is that logo. Anything that I'm putting up on slides or anything like that, which we'll talk about, I'm putting that logo on just to, you know, have something for people to lock onto. Okay, this is our group.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, I'd like to extend that into, you know, bumper sticker type things and maybe window decals and things like that. We're not quite there yet. We haven't, and it's just, we could do it. We just haven't done it yet. So, so with the logo, it's one of those things that is, as far as, you know, how many, I don't know that you can put a number on, you know, how successful that is in getting things out. But I do think over time, I think if we stay with it, we keep that up, that a logo, you know, in people's minds, it becomes something special to them. Okay, this is my group.
Yeah.
And it becomes something they take ownership in. So that's why I like a logo. I think it's cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where if you see a silver helmet with a blue star, you know exactly who's about to play football.
That's right.
The Dallas Cowboys are about to. I mean, everybody knows that. Even if you're not a football fan, you understand the significance of that blue star.
Right.
So, you know, it eventually becomes something that when people see it, it becomes, oh, it's just second nature. They automatically know who that's affiliated with. They know what it stands for, what it's about. And if they're fans, they know the history. They're able to talk to people about it. So, creating a logo is unique. It's interesting that you talk about logos, because if you're listening to us today and we want you to go back and watch the show on Facebook Live, you'll notice that we have a new banner behind us. Jason Phillips and his unique ability. We love Jason very much. He's a friend of Jess and I both, and he made us a really fantastic banner. So it's hanging behind us. If you'll go back and look on Facebook Live, I actually leading into the next thing that we're going to talk about as far as marketing your group, I'm a huge fan of t-shirts. And so a few years ago, I actually hit Jason up and I said, hey, look, I need a logo. I need something that looks cool, that's going to pop, that I'm going to be able to use on everything. And he sent me so many samples. And I mean, you know, it was hard to choose one, but he kind of helped me narrow that down. So we're able to put that on our t-shirts. We're able to put it on our letterhead. Like if I send a letter out to the schools or to a kid or whatever it might be, it's got that logo on it. It's really neat. But to see it on a t-shirt is really neat. So obviously, if you're marketing your group, you know, we do t-shirts for retreats. We, you know, whatever we've got going on, VBS, things like that. We do separate t-shirts for that. But it was really neat. One day on our mission trip, I looked up and, you know, about 90% of the kids there had our youth group t-shirt on. So the current shirt that we have right now has, you know, SYG, Shiloh Youth Group emblem on it, logo on it. And then on the back, it has a verse and it's kind of layered out so that you can see the different parts of the verse and see how it works. So once you see that shirt, you automatically know, hey, that's, you know, I can see it from a distance and say, hey, that's one of our shirts. And you know, so it just comes with the territory of being able to market what exactly you're trying, the brand that you're trying to put out there. So you know, the SYG logo is unique. I think it's very clean. And that's another thing. At one point, you know, gaudy images were kind of the thing, you know, just as much junk as you can put into one area. That's what people wanted to see. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think people want to see clean. They want to be able to see the design. They want to be able to see what's made. So on our t-shirt, that was very important. It's like it's a heather gray t-shirt, and we put the emblem in like Carolina blue. Mm-hmm. So it's very clean, but it also says, hey, you know, you're tied to something. That's mm-hmm. you're a part of something. Why don't you kind of explain what you're a part of? So it eventually became one of those things where we thought, you know, if we're able to put this on a t-shirt, and in my mind, it was kind of that blue star on the silver helmet kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you become tied to it. You know what it stands for. You know what it represents. And so t-shirts have been pretty good as far as marketing our group for us.
And that's where I want to go with this logo. You know, I want what I'd really like to do. I mean, we're obviously going to do separate shirts for retreats and, you know, whatever else we.
Yeah.
Pretty much that's the only thing we do our own shirts for, really, to be honest, is the retreats that we do. And so we'll continue doing that. But I would like to do a shirt for the whole congregation that has that logo with the Killen Church of Christ, you know, on there. Maybe with a little phrase on the back or something like that. And, you know, it's not that that's how you're going to evangelize. I don't know that you're going to win souls by a t-shirt.
Sure.
But
yeah.
T-shirts are big for teenagers. And, you know, I think if somebody comes in, you know, and there's people in class, you know, you could have somebody in their class every day of the week, could be a different person, that has your church, you know, t-shirt on,
right?
And it's going to stick in their minds, and they're going to start thinking, you know, about that. And especially if they're not going anywhere, and they might think, you know, well, you know, there must be some stuff going on there, you know, and I'd like to go check that out, you know, see what that's all about. And you could even put your Twitter, you know, handle under that logo or something if you have one, and, you know, it'd lead people to, hey, well, what's going on that Twitter? You know, what's going on that Facebook page?
And you know, you could create a hashtag for your group and put that hashtag on, like, the sleeve or something. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Why haven't we done that yet?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why you haven't. You're going to copy me now, aren't you?
Yes.
We can do the same hashtag, which is better.
That's right.
We'll do a poll. We'll do a Twitter poll. So, you know, there's so many unlimited things you can do with t-shirts, really, because you can print anything on them. And so you could almost, you know, you could do anything. You know, you'd want it to be able to be wearable every day.
Right.
You know,
if you t-shirts are just super flexible and super beneficial. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're just easy. You know, you can sit down in your office and start, you know, just playing and toying around with different shirt designs and shirt ideas, and you can come up with something really cool in just a few minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, there's those t-shirt designing companies. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go in and have a blank template and just kind of make your own, but you start to run into some serious money.
You really do, yeah. Have you checked on those? I checked on a couple of them, and I thought,
For our youth budget, it's just an expense that I feel like I could go somewhere local and get it done, you know, and have business with the local areas, local merchants, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least that way you could go in and kind of see different colors matched up against each other. But, you know, most of these t-shirt companies that are people that, you know, a printing press kind of organization, they know what looks good. They know what's going to make you look good. So, you know, definitely go by and talk to them. But t-shirts mm-hmm. are huge for us.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to watch those websites. Now, to be fair, there are, you know, right here where we live, there's at least four or five different local places we can get t-shirts, and they're competitive. And there are a couple of places that is owned by members of the church, and so they can, you know, try to help us out and whatnot. But there are some people, to be fair, that might be listening, and they're, you know, they're kind of, you know, out there as far as, you know, not near a big town or not near a place that has. So, you know, the internet companies, you know, financially might be the best bet rather than to try to, you know, work with somebody that's, you know, 50, 60 miles away and whatnot. So it just depends on how you want to do it. But either way, I would say, you know, get that logo on something, you know, get some t-shirts, whether it's for, you know, an event, which I guess we could have talked about next, but definitely for your group, try to think of a way to get to get that message out, you know, who you are, that you're there. I mean, and that's the biggest thing is you want people to remember that you're there, you know, even if it's just, you know, that logo, even if you just had something that said Killing Church of Christ or Shiloh Church of Christ or whatever,
yeah,
you know, just getting that out there and letting people know, hey, we're here, we're active, and that I think that can go a long way.
Absolutely. I agree.
The biggest thing, and you know, with marketing a lot of times is just word of mouth. You know, yeah. if you can get people to buy into what you're doing. Now, I mean, I know that's a business term, maybe not necessarily something we would say in the church, but I'm going to use it in this sense because I think we know what I mean.
Sure.
That when people buy in and, you know, they're sold on God and they're sold on, you know, the activities you're doing with your youth group or your church and, you know, they're excited about it, then the, you know, the biggest marketing tool is your members, you know, to go out and say and tell people what's going on. Now, if they had a little card or something that, you know, that they could give them, you know, I've got business cards that has, you know, my name and my information, you know, there to give out to teenagers or, you know, whoever, businesses. But just word of mouth, you know, I think that's one of the big things about getting your, getting your name out there.
Yeah,
is just having individual people to get it out there.
Yeah, you know? One of the things about word of mouth is if you've got things going on that people are excited about, they're going to talk about it. And as far as you know, and I've been blessed to be a part of youth ministry for almost 8 years now. What's today? Today the 13th.
Yes.
Yeah. So tomorrow will be 8 years that I've been in youth ministry. So you know, it's just one of those things where, the more that we find people are excited about stuff, the more that you find you have people from outside of your group mm-hmm. coming because they see the excitement, and that's because they've been talking about it. They've been
exactly.
sharing that yep. with their friends, and then their friends that they've shared it with will share it with somebody else. So mm-hmm. it just kind of grows and builds on top of itself. So word of mouth has been huge for marketing our group and, you know, different things that are going on. But as far as marketing your group versus marketing events, mm-hmm. A lot of it ties into the same thing. You know, like we mentioned, T-shirts. Well, T-shirts for VBS. Okay, that's a big marketing right. tool for your VBS. You know, it's an expensive aspect of it, especially when you start talking about trying to provide enough T-shirts for the visitors that are mm-hmm. coming in. I think it's safe to say that with us and probably anybody else who provides T-shirts for visitors for VBS, it's one of the more expensive things that you do during VBS, but it pays off because people there are there for, you know, obviously to be a part of your vacation Bible school, but when you give them something that they can walk away with, that's pretty neat. But when you're talking about marketing your events, you got to look at the graphic side of it. So we talk about yeah. logo, we talk about T-shirts, we talk about word of mouth, but we got to look at the graphic side of it. So some of the things that we have found to market your events and make your events kind of, you know, spot on to people and people sort of take notice to it is posters. Mm-hmm. Make a poster. And I saw somewhere, I was doing some research on this last night, there are several articles out there about unique ways to market your event. So we put posters on our flyer board in the vestibule there in our church, you know, the foyer area. And then, of course, we'll put them different places in the youth room, things like that. But one guy said that if you'll put your poster in the restroom.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, because just about everybody at some point yeah. is going to go
There's
to the restroom.
There's a lot of traffic in there, yeah.
So, you know, real high traffic area, you're right. And so put one of those posters in there and kind of market your idea there. So your event there. So, yeah, posters have been huge. Local merchants will let you, you know, if you talk to them nicely and don't just go in there and throw it up on their board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about in Green Hill, we have the Piggly Wiggly. And so it was my first job in high school, and so I have a lot of memories there. But they have this board. It's like a community announcement board. And so if you go in there and you just kind of like, hey, you know, this is what we got going on. Here's my poster. They'll be like, yeah, just find you a spot and put it up there. So posters are a good way to market your event, to get the word out there. And it's another one of those things that can, if you if you go overboard with it, it can get expensive. Sure. You know, especially whoever you use to get to print it off, or you can buy things and materials to print those off on your own, but sometimes it's just easier to just send them into somewhere and have them print it up. You go pick them up and then distribute. Mm-hmm. But posters have been huge for us. I don't know if you've used posters, but they've been good for us.
Yeah. Probably smaller posters we've used. You know, we've used some of that. I don't do so much, you know, put them in businesses and whatnot, except if we have, for instance, we had the Inspire Beauty pageant, several years ago, and we did posters for that. And so we went around in the community and, you know, asked businesses to put those in the windows. But that's definitely a thought. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I probably need to print some up we've got this fifth quarter thing coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the lock-in Friday night would be a good idea to put some, at least right here in Killen, you know, at Foodland and McDonald's and whatnot. So, posters are great. All of these first few are kind of in the same, you know, the same genre, like banners, you know, and what we have, what Wes was talking about here is a 4x4 banner, really. It's vinyl.
Yeah.
And so it can be used over and over again. And so if you can... You know, if you've got something coming up that you do every year, maybe it's an annual thing like a retreat or something, and you can do a banner and use it every year, that you'd have to put some, you know, general information on it. But, you know, even if it said, you know, coming soon, retreat, you know, just to get some thoughts in people's head before you really give out the dates and whatnot, you could put that on something else. But, you know, do some type of banner, or you can do a banner. If you've got the budget for it, do one every year, and then you could just keep those. It'd be kind of cool to keep those banners through the years and use those as decorations, you know, in your teen room or your classroom or something. That'd be kind of a neat idea.
Sure.
And you can get those in all different sizes, you know, so they can be reasonably, you know, cost efficient. They could get expensive, but depends on how many colors and whatnot. But, you know, I think banners are a great way, you know, to grab people's attention, make them colorful, make them stand out. Like you said, put them somewhere where there's a lot of traffic that people normally wouldn't see, you know, a banner. I know one time we were somewhere and they had a banner hanging up, you know, up in their auditorium behind the pulpit, you know, kind of, you know, right there hanging over the baptistry. And I thought, well, that's a lot of people are going to see that, you know, they're going to see it right there. It's kind of an unusual place, you know, it seemed for something like that.
Yeah.
But you want high traffic, so a lot of people are going to see that. We have put, I forget what event it was now, and we put a banner outside by the street. You know, we've got two signs out there. One, it's kind of a low profile, it's lower to the ground, and you can reach it, and it's wrought iron or cast iron.
Sure.
The other one's kind of tall and big. On the small one, I attached a banner to both sides, to either side of it. And all those people going by the road, stopping at the red light out there could go by and see it. So get creative in what you can do with a banner. And, you know, there's a lot of people that can see it. Just depends on how you work it. If you want to put it in your teen room, if you really just want them to see it, put it in your teen room.
Yeah.
Put it in your classroom so, when they come into class, they can see it. But high traffic areas are good. You know, get creative with it. Make sure the elders are okay with it. You don't want to just hang a banner hang a 6x2 banner in the foyer and get in trouble for it or something.
Yeah, but, you know, you were talking about a banner up over the pulpit area.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at Jackson Heights, we did that, and I will never forget the thing. It was our theme for the year, and it was the heart of a lion. And it had this, you know, big picture of a lion and had some verses that tied with it, you know, just kind of thrown through the banner. And, I'll never forget that, because everybody that was there, whether it was a member or a visitor or whatever, they knew that that was some sort of significant something that was happening. So it generated a lot of questions, generated a lot of interest, and because it was in one of those areas where everybody saw it at mm-hmm. some point. So, mm-hmm. That's pretty unique. One thing to market your event is create a sign-up list. That way people feel like they've got a part in it. They've kind of got some ownership in it. And we're not talking about, like, you know, CYC, sign up. You know, we're talking about, like, you've got major church events going on. Let people know, if you sign up for this, we're expecting, you know, your part. We need you here. We need you to be involved. And you're wanting to be involved or else you wouldn't sign up. So signing up for things, it creates a buzz about it because people are going to be saying, well, what did you sign up to do? What are you going to be a part of? You know, and that ties in a couple of different things because people are going to want to be with people that they know, obviously. But, you know, if you see people signing up for a whole bunch of things, some people are going to say, well, nobody signed up over here, so we need help over here. So you're able to market that event and say, hey, look, I really need you to go sign up in this area, and we'll get people to help you out. And so signups can be huge in plugging your event for a church-wide impact, you know, letting everybody in the church know, hey, we've got a spot for you. We need your help, but we need you to be a part and sign up for it.
Right. And if you're thinking about, you know, making those pop, I think that's one of the things, because it's easy to walk by a table where there's a sign up sheet and it's not going to grab your attention and it's going to look boring. Yeah. You know, if you type out in, you know, Calibri, I don't even know if that's how you say it, that font, that standard font in Word, you put the name of your event in 12-point font, and then under that, you put how much it is, and then you put a bunch of blanks with numbers beside them.
It's going to be hard to sign that.
It's going to be hard to feel like, wow, that really, you know, that looks intriguing. Yeah.
Times New Roman, 12-point.
Exactly. So I think, you know, make those sign-up sheets pop.
Yeah.
If you can put them on, if you have a table to put them on, that's fine, but you might think about, you know, put them on your bulletin board, actually, and doing a graphic, put your graphic above the sign-up sheet and then have the sign-up sheet right below, something like that, or put your graphic on the same sheet, which is what I do. I just put a little header, but I try to go ahead and do the graphics. I've probably got 7 or 8 sign-up sheets.
Yeah, there's a
bunch
on that table. Yeah. I noticed them this morning when I walked in.
Yeah, so. and they all have their own graphic. They all look different, you know, and it all has to do with each one.
Yeah.
I've probably got too many sign-up sheets out there, to be honest with you.
We've
got so much going on and whatnot. But anyway,
And one thing I think to keep in mind about a sign-up list is don't just let it be a white sheet of paper. You know, put some color to the background. You know, not only your logo and whatever that you've got built in and tied to the event, but you know, just a white sheet of paper, that's kind of boring too. So you know, add a splash of color to that. And
thanks, all mine are on white sheets of paper. Thank you.
Are they really?
Yeah. But see, you didn't notice that because I've got graphics on them.
Put some color in that bad boy.
There you go. I'm going to redo all of them. They'll all be different next week. Make your sign-up sheets pop. Make one for your events and pass those around any chance you can get. Get them off those tables too and pass them around. Put them before everybody. Yeah. Bulletin boards we just talked about. You know, bulletin boards are one way to market your events because a lot of traffic's going to go by your bulletin boards. People are going to look at it. And if you've got outdated events and outdated, you know, stuff that's, let's just be honest, some of the bulletin board tools or materials, resources are very old looking. Okay. So make them modern, you know, think outside the box with some things that you can do. You don't have to get those rolls of paper. You know, that are never big enough. You know, I always find that I have to use two, you know, sheets of it.
Right.
And then you've got this gap in the middle that I'm, you know, stapling together or trying to tape together. Well, the last time I did this one out here, I got material. I just went to Walmart, found the cheapest, you know, just cream colored off-white material. There's no seams. You know, I ironed it and did a lot of prep work. And I don't use that ribbed border material.
Yeah.
You know, I try to, what I do, what I've started doing, because I like the way it looks, I use duct tape for a border material.
Nice.
I go get not really textured, but a printed duct tape.
Yeah.
I've used the silver metallic, because it's shiny.
Right.
This one looks like tweed, so it matches the material. And so, this is not a tutorial on bulletin boards necessarily, but that is a good way for you to market your group, for one thing, and also your events. Because if your bulletin board looks horrible and people are just going to walk by, and if it's outdated and the material, your calendar, and I'm bad about, look, in the transition months, I'll be honest, I'm bad about not updating from summer to fall or something,
right?
You know, until we're 2 or 3 weeks in, and then I get around, you know, to doing it. But you got to keep that up to date. And that's a big thing too with your website and with your apps. They got to be up to date, but keep your bulletin board up to date, keep it fresh and keep those events up there, do some graphic stuff with your bulletin board and make that pop, get some attention there.
Yeah. Chapel, she did the youth bulletin board in our youth room not too long ago, and it's some kind of red material. I would be afraid to say what kind of material it is, but the border she put around it was burlap.
Okay.
So it looks really cool. Kids are able to ride on that and that kind of thing, so it's really neat. We also did one in it's like a black border or black background, and you can write on it with chalk, and the kids signed it, that kind of thing. It's pretty neat. But I'm always thinking bulletin board. And I try to think lads to leaders a lot of time. Yeah. So one way to keep your bulletin boards up to date is to let the people who signed up for year-round bulletin board just go in and take just those bad boys out.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, so it has a lads impact as well. If your congregation's involved with lads to leaders and you've got people doing year-round bulletin board, that's a great way to keep your bulletin boards up to date as well. Because like Jess said, you know, the summer burn kicks in.
Yeah.
And that summer bulletin board's been there and you're thinking, oh, I need to change that. But I'm going to go home.
Yeah. And then it's September and you've got June and July activities up.
That gives a good opportunity for your lads, year-round bulletin board people to get some work in. One thing that we have found to market our events, just about everybody sees an announcement slide.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got it running with your announcements on your PowerPoint, it's very visible. But again, it's one of those things that you need to put some color with. It needs to stand out. It needs to be different. So we first started doing this a few years ago with a back to school bash, and we created a PowerPoint slide that had lots of color, lots of different things that were going to be in the events, what were going to be and what was going to be included, things like that. So we just found a unique opportunity to plug that into our announcement, something that just about every, it's one of those things like you were talking about the banner up over the pulpit. It's just something that everybody, as they're filing in, you know, they're looking, they're watching, they're seeing what's going on. And then that slide comes across and they think, well, you know, maybe I could be involved with that. Maybe I could help with that. And your kids see it because you're marketing it in class, things like that. So putting it in with your announcements on an announcement slide is pretty huge.
We're a little bit behind there because we have announcement slides, and we have a TV monitor in the foyer that's connected to a laptop where the same announcement slides go through.
Yeah.
But it's always been a white background with just text.
Yeah.
And, you know, in talking with the elders the other night, we decided that we felt like a slide for each event would be a better way to do it. And so Sunday we did that for the first time. There were some, you know, some rough edges to smooth out. We're trying to figure out, and maybe you have a suggestion or maybe somebody out there has a suggestion, but it basically turned into two different slideshows. One for the service where our technicians up there have the song service and, you know, the transition slides there. And then the announcements, because they usually do the announcement slideshow before service, and then they would add in that one slide with all the events and just pop it up there during the announcements in worship. Well, now that we have multiple ones, it threw them for a loop, and I didn't communicate with them earlier enough. I didn't even think about the way that they do it. They didn't feel like they had time to then swap back to the announcements one, have that rotate through all those slides, and then go back to the one for the closing song and prayer after the announcements. And so what we decided to do, and I don't know if this is the best thing, but what they're going to do is just put those graphics into their slideshow for the service. And then they're just going to, while he's doing announcements, push the button every, you know, 4 or 5 seconds to progress through those announcements towards the end of service, and then after they'll turn the other slideshow on. Sure. So I don't know. So how do you say you've got 5 or 6 different events? Do your guys just toggle between the announcement slides, or do y'all just show them before or after service? Do y'all even do them at the end?
We just plug it in with our general announcement slide.
Okay.
You know, we'll have the ones who, you know, are basically, they're like, you know, they're sick at home, or, you know, special prayer requests, church events. And then we have a section for our youth slides to go in. And it's got a Heath Allen actually did one for us that said, you know, let you know that, hey, this is a section for the youth events mm-hmm. that are coming up. So it's got a SYG youth happenings or something. He worded it really neat, and it's yeah. got a lot of color. Heath is pretty creative. So it lets you know that the next few slides are about to be the youth slides and what's going on with the youth group. So it just kind of plugs in, and it's on a rotating.
Does it do that during the announcements at the end of service, or does he wait until after service when everybody's mingling and then do it then? Or
it's in the beginning before Sunday morning, before okay. Bible class starts. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. running then, and then as people are filing in for worship mm-hmm. after Bible class, it's running again. So mm-hmm. We do not currently run our announcements at the end.
Okay.
I think that would be a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
But we do it those two times, before Bible class yeah. and then as people are filing in after
that's
Bible
when
class.
That's when they do that one. You know, they'll do just the announcement slides. And I see where they're coming from. I didn't understand it at first because we were looking up there, and I said, Lori leaned up, she said, the graphics aren't showing up.
Yeah.
And so I went up there and I asked them, I said, you know, did I do something wrong? And they said, well, no, it's just to get those in the slideshow, we would have to, you know, get out of this one and go back, and then we'd have to right. get back into the service one, click on the right screen that was up there. And then,
yeah.
So anyway, we just had a little discussion there. On,
yeah.
You know,
we use, it's called Media Shout. I'm not yeah. sure what you guys might use here, but it's just
PowerPoint.
Yeah. It's just all, we used a Media Shout so we can plug a PowerPoint in there and it just runs. It's just a mm-hmm. constant. That's how we do our slideshows with our song service, preaching, all that kind of stuff. So,
cool.
Media Shout's been a very beneficial tool for us in being able to plug those things in.
Cool. Well, that's a good idea, you know, to, in your announcements somewhere, have some slides just dedicated to one event instead of a whole list of things.
Yeah.
Can get kind of jumbled. With our Lads to Leaders, what I did with those events was I put the logo up there
yeah.
on that slide. That way, hey, okay, this is Lads to Leaders. I need to pay attention.
You know what's happening.
You know that's that yeah. slide, so that's good. We mentioned, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but a website or an app, if you can
yeah.
find a developer, if you, you know, want to go that direction, we have all our events on our app, at least all the youth events are on there, and trying to get the other things updated as well. So again, with a website, with an app, you can do a lot of things with that. You just need to make sure there's people that are sharing that. They're, you know, sharing the links and keep it updated. You know, that's the two things you got to have for you know, anything like that to be successful. You know, you've got to have people willing to share it. You can't just do it on your profiles alone. That's not going to reach, you know, that's not going to be, you know, marketing to the amount of people you want to market to, but yeah. you're going to have a lot of people sharing those things and keeping it updated. Because look, if I go to a website two times and both times there's nothing on there that's updated, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
I'm finding
for sure.
something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, those are good tools to use
yeah.
to market.
As long as they're kept updated and kept clean, they're very valuable yep. To, yep. to what you're trying to do. The last thing that I wanted to mention as far as marketing your event, and it's something that I'm going to start trying to do, it's like a – when Chapel and I got married, we sent this thing called a save the date. It's like almost like the size of a business card, but mm-hmm. Ours were magnetized or whatever, so you can put it up. So we're going to start trying to do that. We're going to try to put them up for retreats and CYC, things like that. It's got the dates, the theme, the logo, and the cost. You know, all the information that you would need would be right there on that card, and you can just hand them out to people as they're doing it. It's also a way for them to, if they've got a friend or a buddy that they want to invite, they can just hand them one of the cards, and it has all the information so that when those people go and talk to their parents or whoever's trying to, you know, they're trying to get it cleared with, that they can go. All that information is right there. It'll have my contact information on the back, so if they got any questions, they can just flip it over. And so I think that's going to be unique. We're going to start trying that. You actually told me that you could send them into Walmart and get them made fairly cheap.
Yeah, so. Or CVS or Walgreens, you know, whatever company will print photos.
Yeah.
What we've done in the past, and we actually did this for Founders Day when we were advertising our app, just a quick, easy way to do it. I use Canva, canva.com.
Yeah.
I really like how easy it is to plug and play on Canva, and they've got tons of graphics. Some you have to buy, but they're super cheap. And it's just real easy website based, but you can download your images. And so what I do is, for pictures, if I want to do a little picture reminder, then I just go hit customize sign, put the dimension in the dimensions, the sizes.
Yeah.
For some reason that didn't sound right. the sizes for a picture, whatever size picture you want. And then you can create on that and it formats it to the right size. Then you can save that and then send it to Walmart.com or Walgreens or whatever.
Right.
And so we did like 300 photos, and it really wasn't that expensive, you know, to do in the whole scheme of things. And it didn't use our ink. It didn't use our paper. You know, we just paid a little bit and had it printed, go pick it up. And it was not as time consuming as it could have been. So, you know, if you're doing a small amount, you know, I don't know, you can sometimes get deals where, you know, a 4x6 or 3x6 picture could be like 9 cents,
yeah, wow.
You know, or 10 cents, 12 wow. cents. So it's a pretty cheap way to do it when you think about it. So yeah. That may be a cool way to do save the date card.
Yeah, that would be unique. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've talked about marketing your group, marketing your events, the power of social media.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's filled with so many things, social media is, but we've talked about it before on this show. I'm sure you've talked about it with your groups before. Social media can be such a powerful tool for God if you allow it to be,
mm-hmm.
and you make it that way. So when you're trying to market your group or even market your events, whichever one you're trying to do, use your social media outlets. I know Jess and I, we both have a Facebook page for our groups. We have mm-hmm. an Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have an Instagram account. Mm-hmm. We have not ventured off into – we have a Twitter, and I yep. know you do too. We have not ventured off into the Snapchat world yet. I don't know if that would be beneficial for yeah. us. But we try to use every opportunity we have through those social media outlets to spread what we've got going on, whether it's just something unique or whether it's a baptism or some kind of event that we've got going on that we just want people to know about. So that they can be involved with it. We use our social media for those outlets, and it's very powerful because a lot of people can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, with this, the prayer group that we're doing on Fridays now,
right. yeah.
I think that's one reason that has been an important thing for us to do. I mean, not just that we're there to offer prayer for these students, but I've noticed that over time, there's been several of these students that I'm just meeting there, you know, that have started following our youth group account because that's where I'm advertising. That's, you know, that's where I'm getting the word out about the prayer group. And then I'm, you know, talking about it after or putting pictures. And then so some of our teens, this is what you're talking about, the power of social media. So then our teens have started liking and retweeting some of those things. And so their friends are seeing that. And then they're coming back to our page and liking and retweeting, you know, and then following the page. I had yeah. one of the coaches from Lexington High School that liked our page or started following the page.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff that's why it's so powerful.
Right.
Is, you know, it doesn't take much
yeah.
to just hit that retweet or hit that like, and then you've instantly marketed something to hundreds of people
that you don't even know
that I don't know. I mean, and a lot of times the students don't know
right.
some of the people that are following them. And
yeah.
so
yep.
that is very powerful. You know, same thing with Facebook, you know, that lady that had the Chewbacca mask, do you think that she expected, you know, for that to be so big? But all it took, you know, a few people started sharing it, and then their friends started sharing it. Before long, you know, there's going to be a movie about the Chewbacca lady.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess
it's incredible. Which it is funny. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Surely you have seen it by now, but it's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
We should have her on the show.
Let's get her. Why not?
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Well, she has to speak in whatever his language is. Chewy.
Okay, we're spiraling out here. marketing your group, marketing your events, super, super powerful. Using all the resources and tools that you have are essential to making sure that you get your youth group out there, you get your ideas out there. But as we said from the beginning, the most important thing is making sure that through everything we use to market our group, market our events, through social media, through word of mouth, however you're using it, make sure that you glorify God through the process. Mm-hmm. Give Him all the credit, because without Him, none of what we have would be possible.
Absolutely.
So, We want to make sure that that goes out first and foremost. Jess, it's final rush time. What do you got coming up?
Well, tonight we've got our first Upper Room Bible study at the house, and I'm super excited about that. We're going to start a new teaching series that I think will be interesting.
Yeah,
I think
it's
something
funny.
We need, and it actually comes from the AIM website, from yep. some of their resources, so I'm going to give credit there. We chose this one. It's because one reason it's a shorter series, but it's I think the title is "What If the Hokey Pokey Is Really What It's All About?" And
I love it.
There's some elements in the hokey pokey when you start saying it. Just for instance, you put your right foot in, you put your left foot out, so you're getting all in. You're putting your whole body in, you know, eventually, and so. That's one of the deals there that we'll be talking about it with our faith in Christ that we put our whole selves in. And so I think that'll be, and again, another part of marketing is going to be kind of catchy, you know, it's going to be neat. So
for sure.
We've got that coming up tonight. And then Friday we have a big event. I hope it'll be big. We've got a fifth quarter slash including a lock-in. So I don't know why I do this to myself, but
More power to you.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time with it, looking for a lot of students to show up. And so we'll have the fifth quarter. We'll have games and things like that. Some pizza will be involved. And we may even have a couple of screens with some video game tournaments stuff going on.
Nice.
And some other games and stuff as well. And then we'll kind of tone it down a little bit for the lock-in part. And we'll still have some games through the night. We'll have some movies. I'm thinking about doing a whole room where all we do through the night is we're just going to have Star Wars movies playing just all through the night.
Yeah,
I've got the whole saga,
Yeah.
you know, start with series one. If they want to go in there and watch, we got some Star Wars fans in our youth group. So I thought that might be kind of neat is have a room with just Star Wars all night.
Yeah.
But those are usually a lot of fun. We have fun with our lock-ins. What
well,
about you?
You know, more power to you for the lock-in. It seems like every time we do a lock-in, it takes me longer and longer to recover. I think you might have put something on Facebook one day about how, or you might have sent it in a group message or something like that.
I think I might have. I don't know if I shared it, but I think I saw Chad Landman post it first.
And it was, you know, how like when you're 25 or whatever, it takes you like a day. Then when you're over 30, it takes you like 3 years to recover.
The older you get, the longer the recovery time is.
So, more power to you on Friday night. Lock-ins are unique. You get so many people involved, and the kids love it. So hopefully you'll be able to recover in a short time frame.
Not going to happen, but okay. What's going on with you?
We got Team 314. It starts back Wednesday night. We're going to meet at Little Mexico. It's the new Mexican restaurant in Green Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tasty. We enjoy it. So we're going to meet there tomorrow night and kind of get our 314 back in the routine of going and running, and we're going to have a little project that we'll do tomorrow. So that's coming up tomorrow night. And then Friday night, we're going to head out to Central. We're going to take the fan van out there and watch another football game. So the Pirates are undefeated right now, so hopefully they can keep that running Friday night. We've got several of our young men who are on the football team. Several of our people are in the band, and we have several girls who are cheering. So it's just fun to watch them and to watch how they grow and how they get better as the season goes along. So we're going to take the fan van out to Central and support our Pirates. So that's basically it for the rest of the week. But, Jess, tell the people how they can find us.
Well, first I've got a couple of things before I do that. First of all, I failed to mention we have our first Friends Night tomorrow night. So this is something we're trying.
That's
it's
right.
going to be
yeah.
different.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so we're going to meet at Rick's Barbecue right across the river at 5:45. Encouraging all of our young people to bring their friends, invite their friends. We're just going to meet there and eat. Then we're going to come back for Bible class.
That's a creek. So.
And, you know, because I know it happens quick, you throw it in real quick before we say see ya. And so today, I just wanted to point out that your Cubbies went for a no-hitter last night. And, you know, the Braves over there, they're winning like 12-5, 12-7. I don't know what the score was.
Yeah.
While the Cubs, you know, while they won the game, they did not get the no hitter.
And it wasn't just a hit.
It wasn't. It wasn't like a single, you know, up the middle.
Oh, man.
You know, he comes in, he's got three outs to get. The very first, I think it was the very first pitch. He throws one right down. No, it was the third pitch.
Third pitch, right down.
Two strikes, I think. First two were strikes. Third one comes in, a strike down the middle, and the guy crushes it and hits a home run. And
Against the Cardinals.
Against the Cards, yeah. So
no less.
I thought, well, Wes just you know, he just threw up in his mouth. But anyway,
it was not fun.
So anyway, that's just thought I'd throw that out there. Look, if you're looking for us, if you're looking to download some episodes or contact us, you can find us on facebook.com/ministryzoo. Also on that, we do Facebook Live usually around 10 or 10:30 on Tuesday mornings. And so if you want to catch us live, that's when you can catch us. But the episodes are there. You can watch later as well. On Twitter at ministryzoo, we're on the podcast app. And you can find that on iTunes. In iTunes, we're on Google Play. Find us there. Download the Podomatic app, and you can search for Ministry Zoo, and you can find us there. And before we say bye, let me throw this out there too, because based on the response we've gotten, we've decided to extend our giveaway to next week. And so you've got one more week to email us your name and address. And I don't have it here with me, but we've got a tripod that can hold a smartphone so that you can set that up and record. It has a Bluetooth remote so that you can take pictures with just a click of that remote. And so if you'd like to win that, we're going to have a drawing, and we'll have it by next week.
Yep.
And so get us your name. Email us. Again, I don't think I even gave the email address, but it's ministryzoo@gmail.com. And so send us your name and address to that email address, and we will draw your name out for that giveaway, and we'll get that to you as soon as possible. We'll announce the winner next week.
We want to give it to you.
We want to give it away. And so please enter your name and address there. And I guess that's just about all. It's been good being with you in the zoo today.
It's good to see you, my friend. Go Cubs.
All right, go Braves. We'll see you.